coming up on show 1107. We've got news about a big shipment of Teslas coming to Australia. And why that's also good news for the monthly China figures. It all connects, trust me. Also stick around because we're talking about electric parcel delivery and a big new order of electric parcel vans, and also how you can get an EV through your job might be easier. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Tuesday, 8th of June. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. And we'll start with a few bits of Tesla news, actually. The first one is about a very high-ranking official at Tesla leaving the company now. Look, people leave companies all the time. It's not that big a deal. But this, and everyone gets excited when anyone leaves Tesla, but this is quite an interesting story because his name is Jerome Guillen. He was previously president of Automotive. Now he's been head of their heavy trucking division, losing one of their most important executives, a high-ranking position at Tesla for more than 10 years, and he's already left. And Tesla announced it in a very brief notification to the US Securities and Exchange Commission, and they had to do that, a regulatory filing. According to electrive.com, Jerome Guillen was only appointed head of Tesla's new heavy trucking division back in March, where he was able to have his agenda to drive forward the market launch of their all-electric semi-truck. Previously president of Automotive, long considered one of Elon Musk's most important companions, confidants, right-hand men at Tesla. He came from Daimler, where he looked after trucking there as well. And Tesla, he's been responsible for the Model S over the years. People call him Mr. Model 3 because he looked after that project as they went through what Elon Musk termed production hell. In the last 10 years, Elon repeatedly gave him responsibility for major construction sites in the company, and now he's left already. And I only mention this because not only is he so senior, but when other senior people have left, like JB Straubel, he was the former CTO, the chief technology officer, I believe was his title. I've not looked it up, but certainly when he left, there was a handover that was, you know, organized, and a chap called Drew, who you may have seen on stage at Battery Day, if you watched that and nerded out like I did, he was already being groomed, lined up, was making appearances on earnings calls, his profile was being increased, whereas Jerome has already left the company. And unlike a fanfare, a song and dance, a kind of even, you know, we wish him well, it was just the statement that they had to make for financial reasons. And so it's super weird. It's odd when stuff like this happens. I hope everything's okay with the semi-truck project. The 4680 cells, which are their new, bigger cells that Tesla are going to make themselves, and also other people like Panasonic are going to make as well. But they can't do Cybertruck without them, because the and new Roadster and semi-truck, because the specs they promised on stage at the time were not achievable. And everyone, well, some people didn't realize that, but, you know, Elon Musk will make a statement about something coming in the future, knowing they can't do it now, but he looks at the roadmap and goes, actually, I'm confident we'll get there, so we'll announce it now. We'll say, oh, like 600 miles Roadster and blah, 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 blah. It's impossible, but we think we can do it one day. So that's just the way they have always worked. And they always, and they, nine times out of 10, they, you know, make it as well, and they pull it off. So, but this is kind of really interesting, so we'll watch it, and we hope everything's okay with commercial trucking at Tesla, because it's really important that if, you know, if they're not going to lead the way, that somebody else does, but hopefully they will show the world that, hey, we can move goods without burning stinky, horrible, poisonous diesel, and we can do it with electric power. Fingers crossed, everything going okay with that. There's lots of bits of it. Obviously, there's the vehicles to make. There's the batteries, the cells which make the batteries. There's the charging protocol as well. Obviously, they're going to have mega chargers, but will they use their own standard or a worldwide standard based on the CCS? Of course, they're part of a group called Charin here in Europe, which is moving forward with agreeing. And they're the kind of CCS body. It'd be great if there was a worldwide commercial trucking plug. It just makes things easier when everything is the same, and it helps the rollout around the world. It means we can move quicker. So, hey, super hopeful that all those things are still in hand. Talking a few Tesla stories today. Their China-made vehicles have surged in May after a massive drop in April, and people couldn't quite work out why. They sold 33,500 China-made electric cars in May, and that includes the exports, though. It's a 30% jump almost from April, and according to the China Passenger Car Association today, and reported by Reuters, China's new electric car vehicle sales have also been surging 177% in May from a year earlier, but of course, COVID, usual caution needed. Overall passenger vehicle sales rose just 1%, so Passenger sales are flat, but electric sales through the roof in China. Talking Tesla, though, they make their Model 3 and their Y in their Shanghai Gigafactory, exporting 11,500 of them. And in April, they had a terrible number and people couldn't quite work out. There was some, there was a Model Y was shut down for a period of time, but couldn't quite work out why. People were thinking, oh, is it the bad publicity they've had in China? But it's a bounce back. It's not a record number, but there's a lot of exports as well, which leads me on to the next story. The largest ever Australian shipment of Teslas has arrived in Port Kembla, New South Wales. I don't know it. It sounds exotic. I'm sure if you live near Port Kembla, you're like, yeah, mate, that's not exotic. According to well-informed boat tracking service Veda Prime, about 1,500 Model 3s turned up in China, says caradvice.com.au. While Tesla does not release its sales data, figures obtained by Car Advice show the all-electric brand delivered 3,500 vehicles-ish to local customers throughout 2020. Based on those results, the most recent shipment equates to almost 6 months' worth of stock, more than the company has ever had to deal with in Australia. I'll pop a link in the show notes if you'd like to read more. Okay, moving on, and we'll talk about expanding their battery plans in Berlin. New construction permits have gone in for their facilities outside of Berlin. We call it Giga Berlin, but it's a long way out of Berlin. Notably, a battery factory. Back in April, where they put the plans in to have their battery production, we knew this. All the new Giga factories are going to make the battery, the cells, the batteries, the cars, all in one place. According to DW.com, given the scope of the changes, Brandenburg's Ministry of Agriculture, Environment and Climate has got to decide now whether to involve the public in a consultation. I, gut feeling, imagine they will. The licensing authority said today that following criticism, actually, of environmental groups, Tesla also wants to introduce various measures to reduce water consumption. To be better for the environment, water consumption is still expected to be 1.4 million cubic meters a year. Okay, it's a lot of water. I guess it's over a year, and Tesla doing all they can to get those permits through. Still being built, by the way, the factory, the facility, with temporary permits, and they're taking a bit of a flyer. I mean, ultimately, they could have to take the whole thing down. Clearly, that's not going to happen. Let's move on and talk about electric parcel delivery. Maxus is going to supply 750 EV vans to dpd.co.uk, and they are a big parcel company over here in the UK. I don't know if DPD are Europe-wide or worldwide, but certainly a lot of my Amazon parcels end up with DPD, and it's great. I've not had too many of their electric vans, you know, where I am. I'm not in a major city, but, you know, I'm not in the sticks either, so it would make perfect sense. I've seen some of their routes kind of, I don't know, online, or people have posted online kind of, you know, how many stops they have to do a day for a UPS or an Amazon or a DPD, and it's like, it is pretty crazy how many stops these guys and girls do deliver parcels these days. But the route is planned out, so they know how much energy they will need, the weather, the air conditioning, the terrain, the consumption. So you can pretty accurately predict with fleets how much battery size you need, and it's not always as much as you think. DPD has bought 500 of the Deliver 9s and 250 of the Deliver 3s, increasing their electric fleet to 1,500 cars. Vans says commercialfleet.org. Maxus begins taking orders now for the Deliver 3, which is a compact van, last year, and they've got two battery options on that, 35 and 52 kilowatt hours. Like I say, not always as big as you think, and that is a range of between 100 and 150 miles. And the Deliver 9, their bigger one, has a range of 219 miles, and has up to 219, I should say, 55, 72, or 88.5 kilowatt hours on the battery pack sizes. Okay, moving on, and let's talk about the electric startup Lordstown. And, you know, I love positive news in this podcast, but occasionally we can't always be positive. Looks like they might not make it. Lordstown aim to revive the shuttered GM plant in Ohio, saying today in a financial filing that they may have to close their doors, according to the Times. The company, the New York Times, I should say, the company which was once held up as a savior by Donald Trump, is now being investigated by the SEC. In a regulatory filing, they said they would not be able to begin commercial-scale production. One of about a dozen startups that have gone public with these special-purpose acquisition companies, like reverse mergers, SPACs, they're called. And some of them have gone well, some not so well, but now they have substantial doubt regarding their ability to continue as a going concern. That is legal speak for... we might not make it. Bit of sad news for everyone working there. We wish them the best, of course. Next, E.ON, the energy company. E.ON has launched an electric vehicle salary sacrifice scheme. This is a UK story. Let me explain how it works. Maybe it's similar to where you are listening around the world if you're not a UK listener. Following its car company division kind of going all electric in 2019, this new scheme created by E.ON and a lease company called Lex enables non-company car drivers to still access an electric car and go green if you want to through E.ON Drive. It's something called salary sacrifice. In other words, I won't get into the weeds of it here, but before you get taxed by the government, you can give up a portion of your money, and it's always good if you can give up some of your paycheck before it gets taxed. You sacrifice your salary. It's called salary sacrifice, and it's a way, a tax efficient way of spending money on an EV through a company scheme. Now, your company needs to offer this scheme. It allows employees to benefit from reduced income tax, national insurance contributions, that's our healthcare service over here, and designed to make EVs hopefully more affordable. Octopus Energy, my electricity company, and always worth a mention that if you want to use my referral code for Octopus, it's at the top of my Twitter feed, EV News Daily on Twitter. Get yourself 50 quid off your first bill, which this time of year, with low lecky bills and no heating, that can last a month or two. And so... always use the old code. It helps keep this podcast on the air. Octopus also had something earlier this year called salary sacrifice called Electric Dreams. Okay, moving on. Renault have launched the Megane E-Tech as more of an official product now. The radical Megane E-Vision concept car is going into production in 2022. It's the second mainstream EV from Renault. Of course, I've had two Zoes now. Absolutely love them. Been a bit worried recently about Renault-Nissan. Nissan seem to be falling out of love with the Leaf. The Ari is delayed again. What's coming from Renault? Well, now we have some positive news from them. The production-ready car has been shown off. It is in camouflage, but that's because they're going to be driving 30 of these around the world for testing and validation purposes. Proportions of this car very similar to the Aria. That's an SUV. It's using the same platform, the CMF-EV platform, and the powertrain. Renault confirming that the concept, like the Peugeot E2008, by the way, which has a 215 horsepower motor and 60 kilowatt hours of battery, that this car will be good for 280 miles. So again, Renault, Nissan, Mitsubishi, that alliance had a really early lead with the Leaf and the Zoe, and I feel that they just took a pause and they're taking some steps forward again now. We've got to get the Aria on the road that's been delayed, and we've got to get this car on the road. Megane, a really big name, certainly here anyway, in terms of a long-standing name that people are familiar with and would like to buy. Nissan saying owners of their electric vehicles travelling 390 miles or more compared to their diesel and petrol cars. The average electric vehicle user travelling 630 kilometres, that's 391 miles, more each year than cars with combustion engines, according to their research. Reported by This Is Money, which says a poll of 7,000 motorists across Europe and the EU, so UK, France, Germany, Netherlands, Spain, Italy, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, asking them how many miles they did, but not including last year. So COVID year, really good that they discounted that. And drivers of petrol and diesel cars saying they didn't go as far. But those that still drive petrol and diesel cars were asked what would make you drive an EV. 38% said the biggest pull factor is more range. And again, it's interesting, it's perception. You and I know that EVs go far enough, but those that don't drive EV, the perception out there in the wider world, as it were, and the reason I do this podcast, so that hopefully you share it with someone who's curious, EV curious, maybe we teach people a few things. We know that EVs can go far enough. When people work that out, it's fine, but they still think, when they're living in petrol world, that the EVs don't go far enough. They said that that would make them switch. A third said easier charging would help them make the leap. And again, you and I know, charging, fine, no problem. But, well, you know, for 99% of people, there's obviously some EV owners that want to do certain journeys in certain places, in certain conditions, where the charging infrastructure isn't there yet or not reliable. But, you know, we're getting there. But I think for most people, charging is probably okay with EVs. Okay, let's move on and talk about the final story. Today, a urban low-speed EV car segment is having a moment in China. At least there's a 10-foot long mini car called the Wuling Hongguang Mini, and we talk about it occasionally. It's made by General Motors and their Chinese partners SAIC and others as well, and they once again they're topping the monthly sales charts in China. 250,000 in total sales makes it the best-selling electric vehicle in China, and it's tiny. It outperforms Tesla's Model 3, says Green Biz. Young families are buying into the car because it's $5,000, so it's cheap, $5,000 equivalent, I should say, US dollars equivalent, so it's cheap, easy to drive, tiny, you can park it, charge it anywhere, ubiquitous in places like the city of Luzhou, and it's got chargers everywhere for this little thing. You can often get free parking and free charging in some places in China, and along with China, European cities have been eager to support these small vehicles, pint-sized vehicles they call them, for urban living. But major European automakers haven't embraced it the way that Chinese automakers have. What do you think? I'm not convinced. Like, I don't know. I want to see the safety specs of some of these cars and things like that, that I'm not doubting China, I'm just brands that I don't know, that I've got no experience of. You want to make sure that they are, you know, safe. These are very small cars. If you're hit by anything in these tiny little things, then you want to make sure that you're safe. I hope they are. And fantastic that it gets people into an electric vehicle. Sometimes these small EVs, whether they got three wheels or four wheels, are a great solution. And of course, two wheels on electric EVs. We should talk about e-bikes more. Also a great solution. And that is your podcast for today. On Sunday, we already read out your answers to question of the week, and this week we are talking about the noises that EVs make. What noise should electric vehicles make, if any, inside and outside? Your thoughts on Sunday. And again, apologies for being slightly ill. Goodness me, the pleasures of having a baby in nursery, because I don't see anyone these days. I'm still officially in lockdown. I don't really go out. I wear a face mask everywhere, but the little fella's been ill, and sure as you know it, my wife and myself are ill as well, but feeling fine. Just one of those bugs the kids pick up at nursery, which goes around the house. So sound a bit croaky, feeling a bit rubbish, but thank you for bearing with me. Hey, if you're going to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, always helps, and it gets the word out there. You can thank our premium partners. If you want to, check them out, their businesses, the individuals. Say thank you to them. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com, Derek Riley and his EV Review Island YouTube channel, Richard at RSEV.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and eMobilityNorway.com. Sponsors of Question of the Week. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.